Good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one of you, and I appreciate you being here. And, of course, it's good to have Debbie with us. She came all the way from Colorado so she could be with us, and we're glad that she's here. And, Michelle, it's good to have you back with us. It's just good to see those of you that are here. And there's not too many here today, but we appreciate you being here. And, George, you lopsided the building by sitting over there. You were supposed to sit on the other side. And as I said, he became a Democrat and went to the left. I'm teasing about that. I want us to look for a little bit, and hopefully this works. In John, the third chapter, and the reading was real well this morning. Jordan, you did a good job. But I want to go over that again, and I want to really think about what's being said here. It says, after this, Jesus, and after this is simply that he had talked with Nicodemus, and he was in Jerusalem, and he now goes to another place. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing in Enon near Salem, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized. For John had not yet been put into prison. And if you remember, John is put into prison because he was condemning a marriage of somebody. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. And John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness for what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives the testimony, sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God. He has given the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son, and he gives all things into a hand. However, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever does not obey the Son has not seen life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And in John 3:32, I want to go back to that now. And Jesus and his disciples went into the Jordan countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. This is the only place in the Bible that it says Jesus baptized. And it says that Jesus baptized more than those of John, even though Jesus baptized nobody. I want you to remember something. When somebody causes something to happen, they get the credit for it. And Jesus caused people to be baptized. And they were baptizing for the same reason that John was baptizing, and that was a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We find in John 4:2 that his disciples were actually the ones that were doing the baptizing. In other words, Jesus had commanded it, they were doing the baptizing. And Jesus caused it to happen and gets the credit. So it was his baptizing that set the ground for what is now to happen. So as we look at this, I want us to see it. It's from Jerusalem to the countryside or Judea, and Jesus baptized more than John, and although Jesus baptized none. Concentrate now for just a little bit on John 3:23 through 26. John also was baptizing in Enon and near Salem, because water was plentiful there and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing all that are going to him." Now, does John or Jesus' baptism cleanse? Which one? In other words, they're asking the questions. There's a purification in this. It's evidence making somebody clean. And whose baptism is right? Is John's baptism the one that's cleansing you, or is Jesus' baptism the one that's cleansing you? And jealousy begins like it was in Corinth. Do you remember? They said, this one, Apollos baptized me, Peter baptized me, and this one baptized me. And so they're arguing there. And here we're following John, and John has been a great teacher, and John has been a weird-looking guy, and we have followed him, and now everybody's going over to him. And this just doesn't seem right. And that's the way it is sometimes in church. You know, Jordan baptized Ricky, and she wasn't baptized by me, and which one's the best baptizer? That's a good question, isn't it? In other words, it's not who baptizes you, but that you have been baptized, and you know why you're being baptized, and why have you been baptized? Well, we've been baptized because it's the command of the Lord, and we've been baptized so that we might be cleansed, and we've been baptized so that our sins are forgiven, and we've been baptized so that we can reach the blood of Christ. But it doesn't matter who baptizes you. I can remember Brother Bill Shamblin and I sitting in my house over here, and there was Brother Tant was holding a meeting for us, and Bill and I got into an argument because the preacher here at the time baptized my niece, and when he baptized her, he said, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus," and he dunked her. And I thought, wow, everybody baptizes in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He baptized in the name of Jesus only. And Bill and I said, no, we should have said in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Brother Tant says, "What's the matter with you, brethren? It nowhere tells you what you're to say." And I thought about that for a little bit and thought, no, they have to be taught why they're being baptized, but all you have to do is dunk them if you want to. I still say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But, you know, whenever you look at this, we get to focusing in upon the wrong thing, and we focus in on the one doing the baptizing. And if we're baptized for the right reason, it's good. Pride raises its ugly head. And I want to tell you, if I'm proud of John or if I'm proud of Christ, this is not the point. The point is that God's message is getting out, and people don't really get that. So in John 3:27-28, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him." And when you read that, I want you to think about, this is what God is giving. This is not what John's giving. And Christ is following just exactly what the Father said. If you'll notice in Luke 16, 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So he is pointing out something. You don't make decisions based upon the popularity of somebody. You base your decision upon what God has said. So don't mistake the messenger for the master, right? Don't mistake the messenger for the message. Learn from the messenger about the master. What's God's point? God's point is to bring people to finally accept him as the Messiah, because this is what the Father wants. And he is giving the message to bring people to see him as the Christ whenever the time comes. And then John is also doing the same thing. He is bringing people to where they will recognize the Christ and recognize that that's the Savior, and they are going to be prepared by that, but some people put their attention upon the messenger. Jesus is saying, I want you to listen to what God said, and I want you to listen to what God said according to John. Everything we have comes from heaven. Do you realize that? Somebody says, I love my wife so much, and where did you get her? God made her. Everything that we have comes from God. And we ought to be thankful about that. Our class this morning, we were talking about teaching children. One thing that I noticed about teaching children was that when John went crazy in college, he had been taught to think when he was younger, and we had to remind him how to think because he didn't even know whether this table existed. Well, that's letting college make you an idiot. And he was able to come back to right thinking to where he understood a designer. In James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do you realize that the good gifts we have here in this congregation, we ought to be glorifying God for that? Those that can say a good prayer, those that can sing, those that can do these things that I cannot do. In fact, I was thinking the other day about all I have is one talent. And sometimes that talent is not too good, and I'm sure other people can do it better. But I'm thankful as Stephen gets up here and prays, and I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful that we've got Paige here with us today, and she's got her beautiful little daughter that's spoiled as can be. But God gives us all these gifts. Have you ever just stopped and thought about all of the gifts that God gives us? And I'll tell you, it's a joy. It's a joy, and we should have no time for all this. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? In other words, John has the ability to sing. Jordan has the ability to lead singing. And that's a gift from God. Now, they can tell me how great of a singer they are, but that's not really true. The truth is, God gave you a gift, and we use that for the benefit of everybody else. And this should have been the idea of those that were being baptized, that they should not be in an argument about who is the greatest. The message is what we're after. My sister could say it very well when she was alive. She says, when you're in the pulpit, she said, I recognize that this is the word of God coming. When you're away, I see all your faults. You're my brother. And that should be true. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, now there are various gifts, but the same Spirit. So is the Spirit of God working here? And of course he is. But do we give credit to God? That's the question, and that should be the question whether we're baptizing or what. Whatever we do, let us give God the glory, not take it ourselves. In John 3, 28 and 29 and 30, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus is the bridegroom. He's getting married. And John, and you remember, Jesus' bride is the church, isn't it? We are the bride of Christ. Won't it be wonderful when we get there and get into that marriage ceremony, that final thing? We're the bride of Christ because we have been espoused to him. And one day we were going to join him, and it's going to be the full bride. And how much does God love the church? Just think how much you are loved whenever you think about the church. Jesus died for the church. Do you remember he said that he shed his blood for the church? And then John is Christ's best man. Oh, I tell you, when you have a best man, that's wonderful. You know, my son here married me. Whoa, isn't that a sound strange? My son performed the marriage that married this woman to me. And I had a best man that stood there. And do you remember who my best man was? My other son, since we have lost him now. I want you to think. The best man brings people to the bride, to Christ. And he's starting to bring those people to Christ. John is saying, I want you to come to Christ. I want you to recognize he didn't know who he was until he baptized him. And he knew that when the Holy Spirit descended looking like a dove, that that is the Messiah. That is the one we've been looking for. So Christ is John's main focus. It's not about me. John's work is now really complete. He is bringing them and transferring them over to John. So he says, it's not about me, it's about the groom. I hear all the time people saying, you know, we ought to be able to do what we want to with this abortion question because my body belongs to me and I can do with my body what I want to. The Bible says that our body belongs to Christ. And many do not recognize who they are to belong to. We, hopefully, can show people that we sacrifice our body because we want to do what Christ wants us to do. I'm not getting into the abortion question, but I am saying that this is important. In John 5:23, he says that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Think about that. What do you think about Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. When we pray, do we pray to God the Father, or do we pray to Jesus Christ? Can we pray to Jesus Christ? Well, we can. But I want you to recognize, many times we go and we say, in your name. Talking about we're talking to God, and they say, in your name. We ought to pray in the name of Christ. John is recognizing that I am going to bring this and I'm going to bring honor to him, because when I bring honor to Christ, I bring honor to the Father. We ought to recognize that too. Do you remember in Philippians 2, 5 through 9, he said a marvelous thing. Have this mind in you. Have you ever studied the mind of Christ? Seriously, have you ever really studied the mind of Christ? In your business, do you have the mind of Christ as you deal with your customers? Paige, do you have the mind of Christ as you deal with your clients? So he says, have this mind in you. Every reaction that I have should have the mind of Christ, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. What did he empty himself of? Not God. He was still God. He is still in the Godhead. He is still God. But he emptied himself of the glory that he had in heaven and coming down here upon the earth. And being found in the fashion of man, being found, taking the form of servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I want you to think about that for just a minute. If Christ humbled himself, he is going to take orders for the first time as far as being obedient. Everybody was to be obedient to him before, and he humbled himself and became a servant of us. That is amazing, and that's almost beyond belief. If it was not in the Bible, I would not be able to accept it. But the Bible says he humbled himself and he became a servant. And being a servant, because he did this, and do you remember the Bible says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered? Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, and therefore became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. The cross of Christ is the very center of our preaching. The cross of Christ is what it's all about. The cross of Christ and what he did there, taking our place, that we ought to get this kind of a mind in us that I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Can we get that kind of mind? It's very hard. But that is the goal that every Christian is to have the mind of Christ. How that's done takes a lot of work and a lot of studying. And to find out how Christ reacted. How can Christ, on the cross, looking down at those people that were so angry and hated him so much, how could he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Because he looked beyond what they were doing to what they were intended to be, and that is made in the image of God. We have to be able to do that. Is it hard? Absolutely. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He comes from heaven, is above all. The incorruptible word of God is incorruptible. In other words, you cannot corrupt it. Everything is corruptible that we see about us. It is corruptible. It's going to die, and it's going to be corruptible. But this incorruptible world comes into a corruptible world, this incorruptible. The glorious world into the dishonorable world. Can you think about being in heaven and God saying, I want you to go to the earth? It would be like saying, you know what? I want you to go into a garbage can with the maggots. Man is horrible. And the powerful world into the weak world. If you have all of the power, going in and taking on weakness would be horrible. And the spiritual world into the natural world. That's why we can think spiritually, because we get the mind of Christ. Jesus is born out of the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you, I have always taught before, and I have changed my thinking. I have always taught before that Jesus was born as a son only when he was born of Mary. I believe now that Jesus has always been the Son of God. Just because God is, he is automatically begotten from him. He did not have a beginning, but he was begotten from him just because there is a God. And when you think about that, that's a wonderful thought. Somebody says, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is, my understanding now, is that the Holy Spirit is like going to a family. You go to John or the Kirk's house and you observe them. And when you walk away, you say, what a sweet-spirited family. And I believe that that love between the Father and the Son, there is another person, and that is the spirit of that family. You can just think about it. You don't have to buy it. If it's no good, don't throw it away. Therefore, he is preeminent for what he did. He obeyed God in everything and paid for Jordan's sins. And therefore, he is preeminent. He came from another dimension. Boy, I'll tell you, when he left this earth, he went to another dimension, and he was going back to the dimension he had come from. Heaven is a place, but heaven is not a place like this. He says in John 6:33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now I want you to think. He's saying, if you want to have life, you're going to have to eat of me. He came down from heaven, and he is the bread that's come down from heaven. And Jesus said, you're going to have to eat of me. Why? Because that's what gives life. I'm going to have life if I eat of Christ. Well, how do I do that? Well, I think he tells us in John 6, he tells us that is the word that brings spirit and life. So he says, I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Shouldn't that be our attitude, that we want to do what God wants us to do? And he says, in John 6, 50 and 51, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. How do we eat his flesh? I believe we have to go back to the cross of Calvary. I believe that because he shed his life for us, that that's where we get life. Things have to die in order for you to have life. I don't care whether it's a carrot or a radish or whether it, if you want real life, you're going to have to die. We first die spiritually, physically, I mean, put away aside ourselves, and then later we're going to die, be planted in the ground or wherever. And then we're going to be resurrected. Jesus is the full nourishment. That's the point. Jesus is the full nourishment. I want to live, and I have to come to Jesus. Completely submissive to the Father, and once again, love for man is seen. Can you imagine? God is over all, and yet God became the servant. That is amazing. That is beyond belief. In John 6:38, I've come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 17:21, that they may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. What do we show when you and I become one? and become one in him, where all of us have one goal, and that is to magnify him, and that is to preach about him, that is to say this is where we get our life, this is where we get our oneness, that you and I are a part of each other because of what he did. Isn't that what the Lord's Supper is proclaiming? Isn't that really what the Lord's Supper is proclaiming? That we are one, and we are in Christ Jesus. We are in such a relationship that's so great. He says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. And then he says, a man's seal was affixed to a document to show he agreed with it. In other words, they had a seal that says, this is my signature, this is mine. The Holy Spirit did that for us. They reckoned it when you're sealed as a legal, binding, and vital, and authentic. You are his. Do you belong to the Lord? I think that's really the question this morning. Are you fascinated with somebody in the church, or are you fascinated in who the church worships? That should be our whole thing. We sometimes say, you know, I was thinking about Dion the other day, and Dion may be moving. I don't know. I pray not. I hope not. He may have to get a divorce, but... But I want you to think about this. No matter where he goes, he's our brother and he will be their brother. A seal guaranteed that the word was true and genuine. That seal was put upon Christ that he was not without limit, that the Holy Spirit worked for him. When a man receives the testimony of Jesus, he shows that God is true. How do I know that God is true? Because I have received the testimony of Jesus. Jesus testified that he was true, and we have all the witnesses to do that. In Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18-19, and we're going to close here very shortly. It says, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Every sane person loves good news. Don't you? Especially the poor in spirit. Why am I so poor in spirit? Because I don't have the relationship with God that I have. And liberty. Liberty to be free. If you'll notice something, we're giving away our liberty. But that doesn't scare me as much as giving away our spiritual liberty. Our spiritual liberty, he came to set us free from sin and the domain of sin and sin ruling our lives. Used to, we couldn't get rid of the sin, but he did something so that we can. He gave his life and paid the penalty so that God will forgive us. The Lord's favor equals his grace. And that's what he did. Are you a Christian? That's the important thing. Are you a Christian? Are you really a follower of Christ belonging to God? Have you really come and let him transform you into something completely new? And if you believe God and God loves you and you know that he does, and that he sent his son to die for you and your sins, And you really believe that with all of your heart because you've heard it over and over from all the witnesses in the Bible. And from those that have lived the Christian life and know the fullness of it. And you would say, it shows me how terrible I am. And I need to repent. I need to really change my mind about how I've been thinking. And I want the mind of Christ. And then to confess before men that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins as you enter into the death of Christ, where he shed his blood. And you're cleansed and you can walk brand new. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?